The update from One Bills Drive. The Thursday practice has ended for the Buffalo Bills. They're getting set for their next game against the Jets in the Meadowlands on Sunday afternoon. Still no official word on Josh Allen's status. Limited reps on practice on Wednesday, and we don't know if he went full speed or limited again today as he rehabs the elbow injury that has kept him on the shelf for the last three games. Yesterday, Josh Allen said he is really eagerly looking forward to getting back on the field. Whether that happens is another question. Josh Allen at practice today, either on the limited or a full go. Tremaine Edmonds, limited yesterday too, and we hope to hear more on his status as the afternoon goes along. The Bills rookie linebacker, who had started every game before last game, is still in concussion protocol at the beginning of the week. Chris Ivory did not look like he was going to be practicing today. Ivory, of course, coming off a shoulder injury suffered this past week against the Chicago Bears. That's the Bills' injury story as they continue their practice week. Sam Darnold is out, officially ruled out now by Jets head coach Todd Bowles, although it was pretty much the way it was looking yesterday. Sam Darnold, the rookie quarterback, third overall pick, is not going to play against the Bills after he came up with a strained right foot. So it'll be backup Josh McCown, who has been Darnold's mentor for the last several weeks, to start against the Bills. McCown has not worked much with the receiving core yet, though he did start 13 games for the Jets last year. Bills and the Jets, Sunday at 1 o'clock. You can catch the game right here on our flagship radio station, WGR Sports Radio 550. General Manager John Dorsey will lead the Browns' search for a new head coach, according to a team spokesman. The next head coach will replace Hugh Jackson, fired last week, one day after a loss at Pittsburgh. The Browns' next hire will inherit some key pieces, a pretty good roster. John Dorsey will lead the head coaching search. The full decision will be made by the general manager and the owners, the Haslams. Thursday night football tonight, Carolina at Pittsburgh, 8:20 p.m., and the Sabres in action tonight against the Canadiens in Montreal. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. Hour 3, John Murphy, Steve Tasker from our One Buffalo studio. Happy to have you with us here today. Boy, Terrell Pryor is an impressive young man, Steve. He had a lot of good things to say, and I really liked his answer about when I asked him about comparing, you know, practice with Darnold, practice with Josh Allen. Not so much what he said, but the fact that he had thought it through so deeply. That's when it occurred to me, this guy is a quarterback himself, right? His background is as a quarterback. He looks at quarterbacks like another quarterback would, and I could hear that in his answer there.
Yeah, he noted how similar the two were. Obviously, he said Josh has got a really special arm. Sam Darnold, Josh, both real calming influences, even as young guys in the huddle. You forget, we were sitting here talking to him after, you know, in the break and stuff. You know, there's a high school state champion, national level basketball recruit coming out of high school, went to Ohio State. He is an athlete. I mean, that guy, he's 6'4", he is put together, and he is exactly the kind of athlete you need on the outside of your offense in the National Football League. And it's easy to see why the Bills were eager to sign him. Hopefully he can contribute in a way that helps the Bills get some wins. But if you bump into him around town here in Buffalo, you'll tell he is a pro athlete. Mm-hmm. He looks the part, and hopefully he'll play up to that.
You know, I liked his answer also when I asked him, what's it going to take to get this offense going? And I thought it was kind of a unique answer. He said, one play. We need one big play. And I thought, he's right.
He is right.
This offense needs one big play to just send a jolt of confidence up and down the entire offensive roster, right? I mean, that would solve all their problems,
exactly,
but it would put them on the right path.
Well, you think about it, too. You got this defense playing lights out and have been for the whole season. And God, you know, they go off the field after they, you know, get a turnover or whatever, and it's just you got to watch the offense do what they do, and it's like, golly, they're not making any headway. And then if the offense came out and put a play, lit a fire, and strung a couple of plays together, or just one big play and got a lead or something like that, man, would that energize the entire roster right away? I mean, it would change the entire mental outlook of the team in that moment. And I think he's right. I think a little success would go a long way for this team and their mindset.
And he's right. He wouldn't even hear, but it happened against the Vikings right back on September 23rd, right? One big play. They got an early takeaway, had short field, and scored, and next thing you know, Josh Allen's, you know, hurtling linebackers.
And they're winning 27-6.
Yeah, the second half was meaningless because they had built such a big lead. Really like Terrell Pryor. Very, now you want to see him succeed, right?
Yeah.
You do want to see him succeed.
Yeah, and he was, you're right. He's got some training that a lot of wide receivers in the NFL don't. I mean, we mentioned it. He was trained 5 years as a quarterback at a high level. he's got a mindset that's different than most wide receivers, and the stuff that you mentioned that he said about the young quarterbacks was pretty interesting.
Terrell Pryor, we thank you for joining us on the show. The next hour is pretty much up to you. Give us a call. We got phone lines open, 803-0550, and toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Our Twitter question today, our question of the day, let's revisit that. For the Buffalo Bills, if they get Josh Allen back in the lineup as their starting quarterback, what impact might that have on the offense? Give us a call. Let us know what you think about that, or tweet in a response at One Bills Live. Here's a quick phone call we'll take from Dave in Rochester. Hi, Dave. Go ahead. You're on the air. Dave? Maybe if I yell really loud, Dave will come back to the
phone.
Don't
do it.
Dave! Sorry, Dave. You missed out. You got some tweets there on the tweet sheet.
I do. Yeah, and Jason Crandall tweets in, it'll be exciting to see how he, meaning Josh Allen, developed while watching from the sidelines and with the tutelage of Derek Anderson. On top of that, there are a couple of new weapons for him to use in Pryor and McKenzie. And that's interesting to me, too. How fast will McKenzie be a part of it? Certainly, McKenzie can go out and catch punts and kickoffs, but will he be added to the offense? Certainly, you can send him in and send him through the middle of the defense to take the lid off. Terrell Pryor got on the field last week. You got to think he's going to have more depth of knowledge about the offense and be more confident in his ability to get open and what he's supposed to do and give Josh Allen some place to throw the football. That'd be nice to see. And Josh Allen has been watching guys from the sideline. He's had his nose on the grindstone trying to get better in every way, shape, and form he can while he's been out. So all of that stuff is intriguing. That's and I agree with that. With that tweet, and here from Chris Rolock, he says Josh Allen absolutely has to play if he's good to go. He not only had the offense somewhat efficient, but also the defense seemed to be more alive. It seems like ever since that pick six in Houston by Peterman, the defense has just looked defeated every week.
I don't agree with that.
I don't know about that either. The defense is playing pretty good.
They played really well against New England, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think they
look. But still,
defense has not looked.
You got to think it's going to help their demeanor
sure.
if the offense does pick it up.
But they have not looked defeated every week. They played well against the Patriots, right?
Yeah,
I thought. All right, what do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Your thoughts, Josh Allen's return, what impact would it have on the Buffalo offense? I'd like to hear from you. Here's number one Bills tweet on the tweet sheet. We asked that question, if Allen returns, what impact would it have on the offense? He says, I don't know. But it's I love that. That's honesty. He says, I don't know. But it's notable that this team plays at a different level with Josh Allen than it does without him. It's still the same bad team, but it plays with a fire lit under it. It's why their only two wins happened with him as the starter. My personal observation. Number one, Bills. Did they play with a fire? I think that's a bit of a stretch. Josh Allen. They also had some rough losses, including week two. They fell behind early against the Chargers. Green Bay, they got shut out. Look, I'm not saying those were Josh Allen's fault, but I just think it's overstating it to say that they played with a fire when Josh Allen was in there. I don't know that they did.
I think the fans watch with a little more fire in there, watching him play. They have more, their expectations are higher, no question. But yeah, the only two games they've won this year, they've done it with him at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The 13-12 win against Tennessee, and of course the game in Minnesota where we all thought it was going to go really a lot better than it has, that it didn't turn out that way. But, listen, we all want to see Josh Allen play. We want to see the offense play better. A lot of people have said, gosh, it's a shame they're going to waste a great defensive year by the Buffalo Bills with an inability to score points. You can look at it that way, but that's a defense that that has played well. But it's a team game, and they got to find a way to win. The offense doesn't have to do much. And in some ways it's a little familiar to last year. You'd think, the defense might have been playing a little better than the offense, and all you really need to do is throw the ball a little bit better, and you'd have been a lot better on the scoreboard. But, listen, this team is what it is. And like Terrell Pryor said, they need something to happen that's good for them offensively. They need a big play. They need somebody to step up and become a go-to guy, somebody they can depend on for some success so that it can trickle down the rest of the roster, particularly on the offensive side.
Got open phone lines if you'd like to chip in on this question. If Josh Allen returns, what impact would he have on the Buffalo offense? You can do it on the phones or do it on Twitter at One Bills Live. From the tweet sheet from Zane Turbesi, I think his mobility and athleticism will help us convert on crucial third downs. I agree, and first down, and second down. Look, he's got skills that the other quarterbacks on the roster do not have. A team that is definitely lacking in offensive skills, Josh Allen can bring some of those skills to the roster. That's why he needs to play. From Kyle Hayner, if nothing else, it'll get the fans more excited about going to the games. We all see Peterman as a lost cause. Yeah, you want fans to be excited. I agree with you. I agree with you on that, Kyle. And you want, I think most fans, Bills fans, want to see the development resume, right? You know, he had his starts. He had his playing time early on. Now, with seven games left, I think most fans would say, yeah, let's go. Let's resume the education of the rookie, Josh Allen. I think fans will be excited to see
that. If he can come back and start to show some progress and get some knowledge under his belt, I mean, this season on his part will kind of take, although albeit a little bit out of order, will take the path that we thought it would before or hoped it would before the season started. You thought, you know, get somebody in there, Nathan Peterman or whoever else to start, play a few games, be competitive, let the season take shape. And then as you get out of the playoff race or into it, you know, you use Josh Allen where you can and start to get him some experience. We all, I think everybody wanted Josh Allen to play this year. So, and I don't know if anybody expected, you know, Nathan Peterman to come in and light the world up and be able to hold on to the starting job through 16 weeks of the season. I don't think anybody thought that. They thought at some point Josh Allen was going to play. And here we are. I mean, it needs to happen, I think. And I think the team is on that plan.
What do you think? Give us a call. Josh returns. What impact would it have on the offense? You can call us or we'll take your tweets and read it on the tweet sheet. Let's get back to where we were before Terrell Pryor came in. We're talking about the a little bit past the midway point of the season and kind of grading out how the Buffalo rookies, the draft picks, I guess we're talking about, how they performed so far. Josh Allen, I gave a C+. You gave a B, I believe, right?
That's right.
The other first-rounder, Tremaine Edmonds, I gave a B, and you thought he merited a
B+, A-. Okay. I think I'll give him an A-.
Okay.
Because the defense is, as a whole is playing really well, and you got to give him some credit for that, particularly given his prominent role.
To the third round, Harrison Phillips, who has played a pretty good role and getting, I think, I'm going to check right now on his snap count, but it feels like he's getting more reps in there and more snaps. I know they moved him around one technique, three technique a couple of times. He seems to have, since the addition of the roster of Jordan Phillips, they seem to have found kind of a more defined role for Harrison Phillips. And I think Harrison Phillips has played okay. 9 games played, 1 fumble recovery, 19 combined tackles. I thought he played well and almost played inspired the last week against the Chicago Bears. Harrison Phillips with 19 snaps against Chicago, 30 against the Patriots before that. He's played on 40% of the Bills' defensive snaps, Harrison Phillips has, and he's been a regular part of their defensive line rotation. I like what he's done. I'd give him a B-.
Yeah, I'd give him a B+, probably because he's on the uptick. He played really well in a bad loss last week, did some really nice things up front, and he's a little bit in the same vein as Starlo Tulele. Star, as you know, some people are looking at him saying, well, you know, this guy's not doing anything. But you know what? They play in the interior of the defensive line. They're not supposed to have statistics. If they had blocks absorbed, then they would lead the team. But no, what they do is they're trying to get double-teamed every play. If they can get double-teamed every play and soak up blockers, that means Tremaine Edmonds, that means Matt Milano, all the other defensive guys, Jerry Hughes, Lorenzo Alexander, they make plays, they make tackles. And that's what Harrison Phillips has done. And in a couple of occasions this last week, Harrison Phillips knifed through and made some very nice plays in the run game, some of them on crucial downs. So I'd give him a B+ just for the fact that he's on an uptick. And all these guys these young guys that are on the defensive side of the ball, I'm giving some inflated grades because that side of the ball is playing really well.
You're an easy grader. And you grade on the curve. Fourth rounder, Taron Johnson. Now, this is a guy who deserves some good grades, I think. Pro Football Focus mentions him as one of the top cover corners in the league. He is Buffalo's nickel corner. He's played a ton of snaps this year, Taron Johnson. He's played 8 games, inactive in 1 game when he was hurt, so he's played 8 of the games so far this year. I think he's played really well as the nickel. 33 combined tackles, 1 sack, 3 passes defense, 1 forced fumble. Taron Johnson in the Buffalo backfield as the nickel corner has played more than half of the snaps overall, 54%. I give Taron Johnson a B+. I think he's had a really good start to his NFL career.
Yeah, I'll give him an A. I mean, he's at the top of the league for young rookie corners and played in 8 games. Yeah, you got to give him. I give him a really good grade. It's hard to step into a secondary that's populated by Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and Tre'Davious White, and hold your end of it up as well as he has, and he really did. So I'd give him an A. He has played extremely well for the Buffalo Bills. I think they're really happy with the way he's going about his business and expect big things from him. So you got to be really happy about Taron Johnson being picked in the draft where he was and playing as well as he is.
Grading the Bills rookies through the first 9 weeks of the season, a little bit past the midway point of the season. Get to the fifth round now. Wyatt Teller, Bills fifth round draft pick, Virginia Tech, the offensive lineman. I guess we can't give incompletes, right? We can't give Wyatt Teller.
He hasn't played.
His first game this past Sunday against Chicago. 17 snaps. He's played okay, and I think from all indications, he's going to be playing, maybe even starting this Sunday. Looks like he might have moved into the starting lineup. I would give him an incomplete, but I'm going to give him an incomplete. I think he has a chance to be a contributor here in the final seven games, but incomplete. More work to be done. Finish that term paper. Wyatt Teller.
I give him a C-. He's playing
at that's kind of a tough grade.
Well, he can't get on the field in an offensive line that's really struggling.
All right, good point.
And that says a lot about could be a number of things. His physical abilities, maybe don't think he's strong enough or stout enough down inside. Maybe he's having trouble picking up the calls. Maybe he's not on top of it mentally. Or maybe it's something else. Who knows? But he has had trouble, or not trouble, but he just has not been on the field. And this is an offensive line that they were looking for help. And if you can't get on the field when they're looking to make changes at the offensive line or looking to upgrade or looking for something to help them play better, and you can't – and they can't count on you to do that until this point of the season, I think that, you're lagging behind in where you should be. So I give him a C-.
Okay. Ray McLeod comes to the Buffalo Bills after Wyatt Teller, McLeod in the sixth round. Yeah, I don't know. Another guy who hasn't spent a whole lot of time on the field, played a little bit this past week. I would give Ray McLeod a C minus, and getting through the rest of them at the end of the roster. Marcus Murphy.
Right.
He's not a rookie. What am I talking about? No. Free agents, Ryan Lewis, Ike Butker. Lewis is interesting. He is officially a first year, not a rookie, but a first year cornerback. He was Arizona draft pick in 2017. I give Ray Lewis Ryan Lewis, a nice C plus.
Yeah, I would
and
too.
Hopefully,
in fact,
more to come.
He started for three games. I mean, this is a guy that, how high were your expectations of him? I think he's exceeded them. So yeah, I'd give him a C plus or B minus. Certainly, he's not the level of Taron Johnson or somebody like that, but you wouldn't expect him to be. But he's contributing, and once again, he's one of those guys on the other side of on the defensive side of the football that, is contributing to a really good effort.
So that's our rookie review of the Grading the Bills rookie class. Let's get to a phone call here. Jonathan and Alden. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, John. Hello, Steve. I want to say I think Josh Allen will make a pretty nice impact. I'm looking forward to see him develop. But the offensive line, the weapons got around him, got to be better. Because otherwise, you could have Tom Brady, you could have Aaron Rodgers, you could have Joe Montana. You could have the greatest quarterback of all time. But until he gets a better weapons, I don't think he's going to make much of an impact.
Okay.
All right. That's fair enough. You'd expect, too, that at some point he's going to be able to do some things that will make guys play better, give him more opportunities. The ball, will be in places on the field at a velocity that the Jets are going to have trouble to defending in the back end. We'll see. But a great player makes other players great, and it starts with a good quarterback. So it'd be nice if he could get in there and do some things that we haven't seen our quarterbacks do yet, and that's throw the football on time with some velocity and also to areas of the field that haven't been touched in a couple of weeks.
What do you think?
The end zone.
Yeah. If Josh Allen returns, what impact would he have on the Buffalo offense? We've got time to talk about that. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or on Twitter. Does Josh Allen return? Well, head coach Sean McDermott told reporters after practice today that Allen took part in team drills on a limited basis today, just as he did yesterday. And the official injury report just comes out. Josh Allen limited again today with that right elbow injury. Lorenzo Alexander and Kyle Williams both full practice today. They got their rest days yesterday. The other big names on the injury list, Tremaine Edmonds, concussion, limited work for him today. I'm not quite sure how far along into the concussion protocol he might be. No practice today for Derek Anderson, who had the concussion. Full practice today. Full practice for wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin, who was limited yesterday. Charles Clay did not practice second consecutive day with his hamstring. Andre Holmes, full practice today with a neck injury suffered the other day. Chris Ivory did not practice yesterday, limited today. No practice for Trent Murphy. So a lot of interesting moves there, Steve. Josh Allen remains limited. Derek Anderson remains no practice. Kelvin Benjamin, who we talked about with Brownie before practice today, full practice today. So it looks like he is trending towards being ready to return to the lineup. No practice for Charles Clay, second consecutive day. Limited work for Edmonds. Ivory, limited. Did not practice yesterday, limited today. That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, he's moving in the right direction.
A lot of balls in the air with these injuries this week.
And that's a long list, too, because a couple of weeks ago there was like zero people on that list.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
And you got Lorenzo and Kyle on that list just as the rest days. They were full participants today, so that's not a big deal. I'd like to know how serious Ivory's injury is, whether he's –
Well, it's trending in the right direction.
Right, he's trending in the right direction, but it's, you know, we're getting late in the week, too. And also, I'm also interested to hear about Tremaine Edmonds. That's a guy, you know, it's funny. I worry more about him being re-injured than I do Josh Allen because, you know, he's playing linebacker. And if Josh Allen can go out and throw the football on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and not have any ill effects of it, I'm kind of pretty sure he can throw it on the Sunday as well. You don't know if Tremaine Edmonds, with a coming off a concussion, can come out and start having some contact and start tackling guys and not regress and go back into the protocol. That's kind of crazy, isn't it, for me to worry more about Tremaine Edmonds getting injured in the linebacker than Josh Allen.
I mean, Tremaine Edmonds is pounding every play.
Right, and you can't do that in practice.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't know if he's, you know, 100% if he can get back in there, but certainly he's back on a limited basis, running around doing some football specific activities. He's took a step forward today from where he was yesterday, and we'll see what that means and going forward. We'll see if he's 100% by the end of the week, and maybe if he is, maybe he will start.
A couple of phone calls here. Wally in Pennsylvania. Hello, Wally. You're on the air with us.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay.
Doing well.
Thanks for taking my call. And about Josh Allen, I really think bringing him back, I don't want to see him come back too early. But when he's ready to come back, I think he's a tremendous asset to the team because without him, they're just running around not really sure what's going on.
Okay.
But with him, I really think they're in sync and they'll be have no problem getting back. Making plays for Josh Allen.
And, I hope you're right.
And then my other question is, what the hell is wrong with the running back, McCoy?
Nothing. What makes you think something's wrong?
I've watched him for years. I'm an original Bills fan. I saw the first game they ever played.
Wow.
I've seen a ton of games up there. But he just seems like he's lethargic. He used to, you know, up until this year, you know, he'd take one step, you know, to the clear and he was gone.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Wally, I think it has less to do with LeSean McCoy than it does with the way the offensive line's playing in front of him. I don't think he's had any space in the running game. They have not been able to give him any holes to run through. And I think as a result of that, he's starting to try and run differently than he has in the past, here, not only here in Buffalo, but also the way he's had in Philly, too.
Or, you know, he just can't get free.
That's right. And I don't think that's him. I think that's the offensive line. I think the way he's running now speaks to the fact that he's starting to get trained by this offensive line not to expect too much.
That's a problem.
No, I think so. I think so.
Here is Trevor.
Thanks, Wally.
Trevor calling from Miami. Hello, Trevor. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing? So to answer the question, what do I think as a fan that Allen's going to do for the offense? I mean, I can't expect a lot's going to be, you know, done for the offense. But from a fan's perspective, you know, this year is about next year, right? And I'm just excited to see him back because, you know, now, like Steve was saying before, right, you watch with a bit more enthusiasm. So, watching Peterman or Derek Anderson or whoever in there, right, you're just kind of – you're treading water and there's, you know, I don't want to say no purpose, right, because you want to win, but it's not building towards some end result.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree.
I agree, Trevor. And I was kind of joking when I said it, you know, that while Josh Allen may not, you know, give the offense an extra boost, it certainly does give the fans an extra boost. I mean, we all want to see that guy play. We all want to see the results of the 18 months of run-up to that draft where they finally got him, you know, where they were trading guys and trading picks and trading spots and trading picks and guys. And finally came with the 7th overall pick. They got him, and people want to see him. They waited a long time to see him, and we haven't gotten enough of him this year. So I'm with you. I think it does give fans a lot more excitement just tuning in the game.
Josh Allen limited today, got reps with the first team, but limited still. We'll get another update tomorrow. We're going to take a break. We're back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Practice day has ended here at One Bills Drive. The One Bills Live show continues till 3 o'clock here, though, at One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3. We gave you the Bills injury participation today. Limited work for quarterback Josh Allen. Full work for wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin today. Limited practice for Chris Ivory. He did not practice yesterday. The Jets, Todd Bowles on Sam Darnold, quote, "I'm ready to rule him out as a starter for this week. I don't know if I'm ready to rule him out for the game." Okay. We'll take that today, Coach. The Jets' full injury list looks like this. No practice today for Sam Darnold. No practice for wide receiver Quincy Enunwa with his ankle. No practice for wide receiver Robbie Anderson with his ankle. No practice for center Spencer Long. He's got finger and knee issues. No practice for defensive tackle Steve McClendon with an ankle. No practice for tight end Neil Sterling with a concussion. You know, you might want to feel sorry for the Bills, but holy cow, the Jets have a boatload of injuries as well. Those are four or five of those guys are starters. A couple of starting wide receivers, starting quarterback. I don't feel sorry for them either, by the way. But they've got a long injury list. They've got one more win than the Bills. They've got three straight losses. The Bills have four. What a classic matchup we have in the Meadowlands. Seriously, I'm just kidding. Man.
You're kind of kidding.
I'm getting more excited for the game.
I'm getting excited
that Josh Allen might play. You ready for a few more phone calls? Let's take a few more, Steve.
Let's give
Reggie in Buffalo. Go ahead, Reggie. You're on the air.
Yeah. How you doing, John? Steve, I just want to say that offensive coordinator is not that good. Okay.
What's that? What's not that good?
The offensive coordinator's not that good.
Okay.
Offensive coordinator is not that good.
All right.
Name of the game is they're running back, and they're not helping him any. They know the offensive line is not that good, but they're not adjusting to it. They're allowing a lot of running back to be naked in the backfield.
Yeah, Reggie, I've said this a couple times. I don't know what buttons there are for Brian Daboll to push here, and I think he's tried. You know, he's come up with different formations and different approaches. I don't know what buttons there is for him to push.
Well, I don't see the offensive coordinator doing the Bills any good because the plays are not that good. They're not sophisticated. The plays are very, very ABC. They're not, you know, anybody can pick a plays out.
Steve, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know, Reggie. I don't know what you mean. Listen, they're up against it with an offensive line that's losing on an individual basis, on a one-on-one basis. They can't push guys off the ball. If you're going to come up with some scheme that makes it possible for guys to play better, I don't know where that is. And talking about ABC, it's easy to defend when you're winning one-on-one battles up front on your defensive line. If the Bills can't run the football because they're getting manhandled up front, and that's got to change. And I don't know how you blame that on Brian Daboll. They've tried everything they can think of, and we go back over it all the time. They've tried different personnel combinations. They've tried different formations. They've tried shifts and motion. They've tried wildcat. They've tried trick plays. I mean, I don't know how many ways, you know, how many different creative ways they can attempt to try and get some production out of their offense and their run game that they haven't tried. I don't know what else there is for them to try.
Let's take a call here from Randy in Buffalo. Hello, Randy.
Hey, just a couple things. First of all, Buffalo being a classy organization, and with LeSean McCoy, I think that he's obviously our best offensive player. But I think down the road, okay, we should kind of cut him free next year just so that he can, okay, because we're probably still a year or two away. Let him go someplace and let him finish his career in the right way. And also,
and what do the Bills get out of that, Randy?
Doing the classy thing. I don't know if down the road that they'd get a whole lot for him anyways, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. I don't know if they would. And
what
else? Doing the classy thing doesn't get you to the Super Bowl. But I see what you're saying. I would also say there is no evidence that LeSean McCoy wants to go anywhere else. So I think you've taken a few steps ahead of where the situation might actually be. Maybe he wants to come back here next year. We'll see. Well, they've already said a week ago the general manager was quoted as saying he's in our plans for 2019. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
Certainly, though, too, they're going to try and give him some help. I mean, they don't want him to have another year like this. They're going to go out and fix some things that are wrong with their offense, absolutely. And LeSean McCoy will know that. Go ahead. What else you got, Randy?
But I think the Bills are doing real well because this time of the year, okay, we know we're not going into the playoffs or anything like that, but we're bringing some players in that we want to take a look at, and we're signing some of them, and we're kind of, you know, discarding some others. And I think that's a good place for Buffalo to be right now because it's almost like preseason where you can bring some and kind of take a look at them.
Well,
I don't want to be in preseason in November,
Randy. Here's the thing, Randy.
I don't want to be in preseason in November.
Saying they're in a good spot. They're doing the right things, yes. They're not in a good spot. They're doing the right things by churning the roster and trying some guys to bring some guys in to upgrade their talent level, but they are not in a good spot. Let's put it that way.
Here's a call from Willie in Buffalo. Go ahead, Willie. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
Great.
I just wanted to call in. Let's get to the bottom of this, man. Like, first of all, Brian DeBoer, he has to go. The play calling on the fours, he's jamming Shady up the gut every chance he get. I just don't feel like he's doing a good job.
Somebody's got to go, Steve. That's where we go in Buffalo. He's got to go. That guy's got to go. I'm sorry, Willie. I cut you off because I just don't feel like listening to that. I just don't.
Yeah.
Well, everybody doesn't have to go.
Right.
That guy's got to go.
Listen.
What are you talking about, man?
The running game is not working. They got problems up front. That is.
Don't want to listen to
that. Yeah, there's always going to be people calling for change, and I think change is something we've had just too much of. I think they've got a lot of smart guys in this building. It's not going great offensively at the moment, but I'll tell you what, they were smart enough to fix the defense in a year, fixed it in a big way.
Didn't change any
coordinators. And you've got to give them a chance with the assets in place that they have now with cap space and free agency and the draft to get the other side of the ball lined out as well. They've gotten a good start. We'd love to see where that start has taken them with Josh Allen. There's no doubt they spent a lot of assets on the defensive side of the ball and a lot of assets to get that quarterback. They had more holes to fill on their roster from last year than they had assets to fill all of those holes. But the ones they filled look pretty good right now. So I'm not saying it's broken beyond repair for this year. They're going to keep trying to get some wins under their belt. They're going to keep fighting to try and win each game every week. But there's some things that they're lacking right now. And
nobody's got to go.
Right. I think they got
to. Not yet.
They have done too many things the right way to say blow the whole thing up yet again.
That guy's got to
go. I think that's crazy talk.
NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Tonight, Steelers-Panthers Thursday Night Football on NFL Network and Fox. True or false, the Carolina Panthers are the NFL's most overlooked team. I'm going to say true on this, Eve. The Panthers have won 5 of their last 6. They are 6-2. They're taking on the Steelers. They just might beat them tonight at Heinz Field. I kind of agree with that. I don't think people talk about the great teams in the league right now. They talk about the Rams and the Chiefs and the Patriots and the Saints. And eventually, after you think about it, you got to say Carolina might be right up there too.
I agree. I think they're the best overlooked team. That's for sure. They're 6-2. They're chasing New Orleans. New Orleans has won one more game than they have, and nobody is talking about the Carolina Panthers. And they are a really good football team, and I agree with you. I think they are the most overlooked team.
NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy. One more. Malcolm Butler says facing the Patriots is just another game for him. The guy who was benched in the Super Bowl last year, Malcolm Butler, going up against his former team, his former coach, Bill Belichick, who never offered a reason why he sat down Malcolm Butler. The Tennessee Titan says he does not view Sunday's game against the Patriots as anything special. He told the Tennessean, quote, it's just another game for him. True or false? Come on, Malcolm. That's false. That's false.
Come on.
Come on.
That's false. He's going to say all the right things, and that is exactly what he should say, but we all know that there is an enormous chip on his shoulder about what happened in the Super Bowl and his inability to contribute to it and help them win, which they could not with him sitting on the bench.
Or did not with him sitting on the bench.
I think that's false.
One more, and this goes back to tonight's game, Pittsburgh home against Carolina. Somebody wrote for 247 Sports, whatever that
24/7.
Is. 24/7, okay. Steel Curtain, win the vote, is the greatest defense in NFL history. That's what 24/7 Sports says. The greatest defense in NFL history, the Pittsburgh Steel Curtain of the 70s. The Steelers had some success. Four Hall of Famers there. They had Pro Bowl players there. Four Super Bowl victories in a six-year span. Were the Pittsburgh Steel Curtain defense, were they the best ever? I say false. 85 Bears. Numbers reflect it. You might even look to the Ravens, right, in 2000.
You could look to the Seahawks back in 2014 when they beat the greatest offense of all time like a drum in a Super Bowl. That might be the best defense of all time.
True or false?
The one in Seattle. So you're splitting hairs, you know. They're all really good. And, you know, the 85 Bears is an iconic group and deservedly so. That Seahawk defense, I think, gets overlooked in the historical realm of what they did in a Super Bowl.
Ravens 2000.
The Ravens 2000 team was phenomenal. I mean, they were unbelievable defense. So I would – yeah, the Steel Curtain's in – it may be, for me, in my lifetime, the Steel Curtain is the best, great, iconic defense of all time, the first one. But there's been a couple since then that are every bit that defense.
There you go. NFL True or False brought to you
by – I don't know whether that's true or false. I don't know whether I'm going to have to say.
Oh, you got a question mark. I didn't know we had an option for a question mark.
Yes. I have to say no because there's other teams in the conversation. I have to say false. So change my question mark to a false.
False. It is false. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Steve and I back with more One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Did we learn from today's show? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider, the Buffalo Bills. A star-studded show today. Marcellus Wiley from FS1, Fox Sports 1, formerly of ESPN, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, defensive end Marcellus Wiley, talked about returning to Western New York this past weekend. Here's what he said.
Eyes wide open as a rookie, first time being in the NFL and walking into that locker room and seeing names like yours and seeing names like Bruce Smith and Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas. I mean, it was a dream come true, especially coming from a small school like Columbia. And then having that amazing experience up there where everyone loved football. I tell people all the time of the four places I played, it wasn't even close how much the fans of Buffalo love football.
That was Marcellus Wiley talking about his first experience coming to the Buffalo Bills. We had Terrell Pryor in studio with us, Bills wide receiver, and we asked him, what does this Bills struggling offense need to turn things around?
I think we need one big play.
One big play will do it.
I think we need one big play. That's all you need. We need to taste it. We need to feel it, you know? It's like us going, you know, we go to a spot we keep on hearing about, a food spot, and we finally had that dish that everybody's talking about. You know, we're looking at KC, we're looking at all these great offenses. Right. You get a taste of that, you know, that special Parmesan chicken or whatever, and then you're like, oh, I'm coming back for more.
I get it.
So that's what we need. You know, we need just one big play, and, you know, I think we're capable.
Could one big play mean that much, Steve Tasker?
I think it probably would.
I think he might be right. Tell me how does that work? They hit a 70-yard touchdown pass early in the game Sunday.
Say this.
Then what?
All right. So they say it gives them a lead.
Well, all of a sudden, Shady starts running better and the offensive line starts blocking better.
I'll tell you what. Their defense tightens up a little bit. Your defense starts to play looser, gets another turnover. You get a short field. You stack a field goal on top of it. All of a sudden, you're up 10-0, and you're on fire. Yeah, that's different.
Okay.
That's different. You feel like you're on fire, man. Let's go. And the defense can't wait to get on the field again. Instead of going, oh, God, these guys. They can't wait to get on the field again. That's different.
So where do I go to sign up for this one play?
Sign up.
Where do I put in my request for one play? The Bills.
1-888-BB-TIX. That's where.
The Bills quarterback situation for Sunday still unsettled, let's call it that, with a limited day of practice today for the rookie Josh Allen. We're all hoping he gets back in, but there's no guarantee yet. He had the right elbow injury that kept him out for three games. Limited practice for the last 2 days for Josh Allen. No practice today for Derek Anderson, still with a concussion. So you would think he is out. Kelvin Benjamin made a move up from limited practice yesterday with a knee to full practice today. A move up for Chris Ivory. The Bills need him. No practice yesterday with a shoulder. Limited work for him today. And Tremaine Edmonds, the rookie in concussion protocol, limited for the last few days. We'll keep an eye on that as tomorrow's practice moves along. Tomorrow, Friday, you know what that means. Greg Cosell joins us. Always good and insightful. We'll get his thoughts on where the Bills are at, where the Jets are at. He might have some extended video on Josh McCown that he can talk to about.
Well, they do. They've seen him before. They haven't seen him with, you know, this particular group of guys, but Josh McCown is a guy that, you know, this is a team that was 1-1 against the Bills last year. Going in there, division opponent. There's a lot of familiarity there, no question about it.
I'll be curious if Greg agrees with you. I think he probably will, that it's a tougher defense for the Bills, Josh McCown.
You've got to think he's going to know where to go with the football. I don't think you try and fool him like you would have tried to fool Sam Darnold.
That's coming up on tomorrow's show. Hope to see you there, 12 noon, 3 p.m. tomorrow. Production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. We're back tomorrow at 12 noon with One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.